You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Welcome in, Raider Nation, to another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. It is Wednesday, February 13th. It's almost Valentine's Day. What does that mean for me? Nothing. But I'm just saying, it's almost Valentine's Day. So it's Wednesday, February 13th, 2019. Locked On Raiders podcast. I'm your boy Q, at your boy Q254. And I say it means nothing to me. I say Valentine's Day means nothing because it's just another day. It's another excuse to spend a lot of money. And I can save that money and I can spend it at another time and everybody involved will be a lot happier, if you know what I mean. But I'm not here to talk about Valentine's Day. I'm here to talk about the Raiders. I'm here to talk about the NFL. I'm here to talk to you, and you're here to talk to me, and we're going to talk about the Oakland Raiders. And that's just how we get down, Raider Nation. So pretty excited about today's show. I go into every episode, feel like it's going to be the biggest and best episode ever, but I just think this is going to be a really good episode. I think that they all are, and hopefully you do as well. And you know, you could always give me your feedback at any single time, 707-654-4693, or of course, as always, on Twitter, at your boy Q254. Coming up in segment number three today on the show, going to give you a little bit of rundown of what we're going to do. Got some calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. The number I just mentioned it, 707-654-4693. Going to hear from those in segment number three. In segment number two, got a little bit of news and notes that came out of the NFL on Tuesday. Going to talk Antonio Brown. That's right, AB in the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's a guy that we've talked about a few times on this podcast. Well, I'm going to touch on him again because on Tuesday, he actually put out a tweet. He put out a message saying that bye to Pittsburgh Steelers fans. And basically, hey, I'm out. You know, and it's on to bigger and better things. Wait a minute, dog. You're under contract. So can you really do that? Because you ain't going to go nowhere unless the Pittsburgh Steelers tell you you're going to go where. So it's not like you're a free agent and you're just bouncing out the city. You're under contract till 2021. So I think somebody else is going to have to say it's on to bigger and better things for you to get out of there. So we'll talk about that in segment number two. And then segment number one, the big elephant in the room, something I hope that we don't have to talk about too much longer. And maybe we're getting close to a resolution, but it's obviously the stadium situation. Very, very frustrating. As a Raider fan, not a media guy, but as a Raider fan, I'm so frustrated by this stadium situation. I just wish that they would hurry up and get it solved and resolved and figured out. And I mean, think about this, Raider Nation. Think about all the places that have been speculated since the Oakland City or the city of Oakland filed that lawsuit against the Raiders and the rest of the NFL. And the Raiders said, oh, we got plenty of places we could play. Let's go back and let's go back through our minds. All right, let's have an exercise, a brain exercise. Don't use your phones. That's what's wrong with us now. We use our phones too much and we don't use enough brain power. Just go back through your minds and just tell me or tell yourself how many cities you've heard of that have been talked about where the Raiders could play. Let me go back. I'll do this exercise and I'm not going to say that I'm going to get everyone right. I remember San Diego was one. I remember San Francisco was one. I remember Berkeley was one. I remember Santa Clara was one. I remember San Antonio was one. I remember Arizona was one. Let me think. Vegas, I know that they said they didn't want to do it because they didn't want to have a soft opening, so they didn't want to go to Sam Boyd Stadium a year earlier. I know Reno was one. Where else? You know what I mean? Like, those are the ones I could think of just off the top of my mind. Those are just some of the places that the Raiders have been rumored to possibly be going to. Just think about that. That's like six or seven places just off top without me really even thinking. Now, if I put in a Google search in my phone, places that the Raiders could have played in 2019, I bet you all these cities would come up. Anyway, I say all that to say Oakland is where it should be. That's where they should be playing in 2019. Remember when all this started, I said my gut feeling was they were going to play in Oakland in 2019. Well, how ridiculous does it get? How ridiculous does it get? And I actually took out a segment on my show on ESPN Central Texas on Tuesday just to talk about it. And I'm not even going to include that little portion of that little audio bit on the podcast because I'm basically going to go right through it again. How ridiculous is it that Birmingham, Alabama, and Tucson, Arizona were trying to come together and basically split the last seven games, the last seven home games that the Raiders have because they're playing one in London, so they're already down to seven. They're basically trying to join forces and have some of the home games in Birmingham, Alabama, and have some in Tucson, Arizona. How embarrassing is that? Have you ever thought about that? You know what I'm saying? Like, how embarrassing is it to have a place even consider doing that? I mean, that's think about that. That's how much Birmingham, Alabama wants the Raiders there, that they're actually willing to say, hey, we'll split our time with Tucson. It's like, this isn't a kid. You know what I mean? It's not like a married couple that are getting divorced and you got to split time at mom's house and split time at dad's house. That's what that sounds like, right? You go to mom's house for 4 days, you go to dad's house for 3 days. Or you spend all week at mom's house and then you go to dad's house on the weekend. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what that sounds like. How dysfunctional does that sound? What a joke. That is an absolute joke. And I just, man, when I saw that Birmingham, Alabama and that Tucson, Arizona split, I couldn't believe it. That just blew my mind. So I was happy to see later on Tuesday night when guys like Michael Gelkin, Ian Rappaport, Scott Baer, those kind of guys said that there was actually some headway being made, and it's been confirmed. There's been some headway being made where the Raiders and the city of Oakland are actually talking again, and apparently the talks are productive. So I rewind a couple days to what I said about, you know, Zenny Abraham, who had said that, and said that, you know, the Raiders and the city of Oakland were talking. And I said, I'm just not too sure how credible his sources are. I'm not too credible or too sure how credible he is. And again, I'm going to say the same thing. I'm just not 100% confident when it comes to things that Zenny Abraham says. Again, not knocking his hustle, but I just feel like there's so many times that it's questionable and things that he said has been questionable that I don't feel like just riding that out and saying, okay, this is going to be absolutely true. But when I see Michael Gelkin from the Las Vegas Review-Journal put out a story, when I see Scott Baer from NBC Sports in the Bay Area put out a story and have a name behind it that confirms it, that is inside the Coliseum, actually the Coliseum walls that, you know, that works for the Coliseum and is kind of part of the negotiations. When I see a name attached to it instead of just source, I hate that word. Everyone like is a source. You know, or everyone has a source. And I hate that word. I get it. You need them. They work really well and they're really good to have. But man, it's so frustrating to understand what's real and what's not real. You know, what's fake real. So to see those names on that and see that the city of Oakland and the Raiders seem to be talking and the talks seem to be positive, I'm thinking, okay, maybe there's going to be a resolution pretty soon. That's what this whole situation needs. It needs a resolution. I think there was a song that said that, right? We need a resolution. Wasn't there a song? I know there was. But either way, I'm just saying, this needs to be solved and solved quickly. This is getting old and dramatic, and it's just too much. You already look like the clown show of the NFL just because you don't know where the hell you're playing at. This is absolute dysfunction and chaos. You never seen the Pittsburgh Steelers not know where they're going to play? You never saw the Packers not know where they're going to play? I mean, seriously, good organizations, you know, you just don't see them not know where they're going to play. And this is a dysfunctional mess right now. So the quicker this gets resolved, the better. You know, there's been talk about the Raiders on Hard Knocks. No, I don't want to see them on Hard Knocks. I don't. One, I'm not a Hard Knocks guy. I know a lot of people won't believe that, but I'm not. Two, I don't have HBO. Three, I just don't need to see them showing out in front of the camera. I need to see them getting on the field and getting it together. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was a rough 2018, Raider Nation. I don't know if you realize it like I do, but we got through it together, and it was a rough road. It was very rough road. Raiders went 4-12. I don't need to see you on camera. I need to see you getting better, improving the team, so when the regular season starts in 2019, I can see some W's. Yes, I said I'm being a little greedy, but I think that all the Raider Nation feels the same way. So don't worry about being on no HBO Hard Knocks. Worry about where you're going to play in 2019. Hopefully it's Oakland because that's where it should be. And then get better on the field. And then if you're going to be on Hard Knocks in 2020, which actually makes more sense, you're going into a new stadium in Vegas. You're going to have the draft prior to that. There's all kinds of things going on. There's way more storylines going into 2020 than there is going into 2019, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. I will say I got a couple tweets at your boy Q254 on Tuesday that I just kind of wanted to pass along. And it's funny, man, how fans and just everyday cats can figure out or have a solution to the stadium problem quicker than billionaires and millionaires and owners and city councils. And I get it. There's a lot of politics behind it, so it's not as easy as just what these guys are going to say. But I wanted to share these tweets because I thought they were kind of cool. One came from my man Tom Kennedy at I Am Tomzo. I am T-O-M-Z-O. He said, this is what should happen as far as the stadium goes. Agree to a lease deal in Oakland. Hold the money the city would get in a separate account. If the city wins the NFL lawsuit, then they get the money. If they lose, it goes to a local charity. That way, everybody wins. I'm okay with that. I know the city of Oakland wouldn't be okay with that because there's a good chance that they're going to lose the lawsuit. And so they don't want to come out with nothing, even though it would go to a local charity. But I get his idea. So I think it's great. But again, it's not a charity business, and the city needs as much money as they can get. We all know that. And so I know that wouldn't work, but I love the idea. So definitely Tom Kennedy at I am Tomzo. I appreciate that. And then I had another one from Spotted Donkey One, which sounds like he's a Bronco fan, but apparently not. He said at Spotted Donkey One on Twitter, can you get the topic on where the Raiders are playing next season? Why not Sam Boyd? Just start early in Vegas. And my response to him was, and I kind of said it earlier and touched on it earlier in this segment, is that the Raiders don't want to do a soft opening in Vegas. When they touch down in Vegas, they want to touch down in Vegas like, ha-ha, I'm here, welcome, you know what I'm saying? And they want to open up the doors to that brand new stadium, and that's it. They don't want to have a soft opening where they're at Sam Boyd Stadium, a very small stadium, not saying that it couldn't do the job because it could. Worst came to worst, that'd be fine, but they want to hit Vegas with a splash, and you can't really blame them. They're going to open up this state-of-the-art stadium, some great stadium that's going to be one of the best stadiums in the league. You kind of want to go and do it with a splash, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like if you're going to take a fine woman out, you want to make sure the day you take her out, you got your hair cut, you're looking good, you know what I'm saying? Your outfit's the best-looking outfit, your car is clean, it's shining, you're smelling good, everything is A-okay. You don't want to take her out the first date, and it's like, well, you didn't shave, you know, your hair is looking scruffy, your clothes are wrinkled, your car is dirty, you know what I'm saying? You're late. You don't want it to be that. You don't want it to be just like an average day. If you're going to take out that fine woman, you're going to show her off a little something, brag a little bit in front of your friends, you know what I'm saying? You want to go out there and you want to look good. And on top of that, you want her to look at her best. You don't want her to look like she just, you know, left the nail salon and it was just one of them rough days or something like that, or just left the daycare, or you know what I'm saying, or just finished cooking dinner and so, you know what I mean, some BS like that. You want her on her A game and you want to be on your A game. So I think that's what the Raiders want to do. They don't want to come in unshaven, clothes all wrinkled, car dirty, you know what I'm saying, having to eat at a fast food restaurant. Nah, man, you want to go to the finest of the fine. Telling you, that's what you want to do. So that's what I think that the Raiders want to do. I think they want to go to the finest restaurant possible. They want to go out there and eat in Jack London Square out in the water. You know what I'm saying? Where you got to put on your fancy suit. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to go just to like McDonald's. No disrespect to McDonald's. But I'm just saying, they want to go to, they want to show off everything at the same time where it's like, man, you're on point. That's just my opinion. So that's my answer when it comes to why not play in Sam Boyd Stadium. But again, it looks like there may be some headway. It looks like we may be turning the corner and there's some light at the end of the tunnel as far as the Raiders go and as far as this stadium situation goes. I hope it does. I hope it gets done in Oakland. That was my gut feeling from the very beginning. I'm still going to ride my gut feeling because that's all I ever do. I don't have sources. I don't have guys on the inside. I don't have any of that. I never claimed to have that. Even though some people have taken shots at me on Twitter like, I claim to be that guy. I have never claimed to be that guy, but whatever. It's all good. So, you know, that's the latest and the greatest with the stadium. It looks like something with the city of Oakland and the stadium and the Raiders gets done. It's not official, not yet, but it could be something coming down the pipeline pretty soon. So hold your breath, cross your fingers, do what you got to do. Whatever you do for good luck, Raider Nation, do it. And do it in a major way. Let's get this thing done, all right? Coming up in segment number two, Antonio Brown. He wants out of Pittsburgh. He wants a trade. He already says, sayonara, see ya, I'm gone. Peace, throw up the deuces. Wait a minute, bro. You're under contract. Can you do that? We'll talk about it next on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. I'm your boy Q on Twitter, at your boy Q254. And, of course, you can always chime in, be part of the show, 707-654-4693. And I encourage you to do that. Always love to hear from you. Always love to hear Raider Nation's thoughts, because it's not just about me. It's not just about what my opinion is. It's also about what you have to say and what's on your mind. I am all good with that. So right now, as I tease at the end of segment number one, I got to talk Antonio Brown. He actually put out a formal request from the trade, or he actually put out a formal request to be traded with the Pittsburgh Steelers on Tuesday. He put out on Twitter a video, put out a Instagram saying farewell to the fans in Pittsburgh, saying it's been like 9 good years. It's time to move on, be gone. We all know, let it be known, we all know he wants to go play for the San Francisco 49ers. He's already photoshopped himself being in a 49er jersey with Jerry Rice hugging him and all that other good stuff, which I don't even know how he gets away with doing that, saying he's under contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We know where he wants to go. He wants to go to San Francisco. That doesn't mean that he's going to go there, and that doesn't mean just because he threw up the deuces on Twitter means that Pittsburgh is going to say, okay, AB, you want to go to San Francisco? Let me call Kyle Shanahan. Let me call John Lynch and get it done. No, you're under contract till 2021. You don't have a choice. If you don't want to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers and they don't want to trade you, you know what your only option is, AB? Not to show up, to sit out. Do what your tag team partner and Le'Veon Bell did in 2018, sit out. And the only difference between you and him is he had no contract because he never signed the franchise tag. So if you sat out under contract, not only would you be fined in a major way, but you would still have to report to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ultimately, you can't just decide you're never going to play for them again unless you decide I'm never going to play ball again. So he put out that video, said, you know, shout out the deuces to him, and that's fine. Got everybody thinking about, okay, well, Pittsburgh's about to move on from him. Who are they going to send him to or whatever? Like, you know, all that good stuff. Like, almost made it sound like it was his option. I don't understand why everyone thinks it's all on him. It's not on him. It's on the Steelers. They don't have to do anything. He's still one of the best wide receivers in the league. He's still top five, if not top three. So how could you think that Pittsburgh is just going to be so willing to give up on him and let him go, even though he's not getting along with Big Ben? He's not getting along with Art Rooney. He's not getting along with Mike Tomlin. I get all that. It makes all the sense in the world. Yeah, he's probably a locker room cancer. But ultimately, you're trying to win games, and Pittsburgh's trying to win games, and they're dealing with a lot of drama. They got Juju Smith-Schuster. He's a nice number two, but is he a number one without Antonio Brown on the other side? That's the big question. So as of right now, everyone thinks that he's going to be traded and that Pittsburgh's going to pull the trigger on a trade to San Francisco. That's what a lot of people think. But obviously other teams are in play. And who has ammunition to go and get Antonio Brown? We've talked about him on the podcast before. Should the Raiders go out and go make a move? We know John Gruden really respects Antonio Brown, really, really respects him. Said he's the hardest working dude in the room. Would that be a guy John Gruden would want to go out and get? And I'm not saying, do you want John Gruden to go out there and get that? I'm asking you, Raider Nation, to put yourself in John Gruden's shoes and Mike Mayock's shoes. We've done that a little bit about, you know, the draft and everything, but do you think that John Gruden makes the move? Not do you want him to, because I'll tell you straight up, I don't think that that's a good move. For everything that I said about Antonio Brown being a great player, being top three, top five, whatever you want to say, a very hard worker, probably the hardest working dude in the room, he's also an issue. I mean, he also just is absolutely an issue where he's going to have his moments. I mean, if he is going to have his moments in Pittsburgh, and that's a pretty damn good ran organization most of the time. Obviously, over the last few years, it hasn't been. Mike Tomlin has basically been letting AB do whatever he wants to do because he performs on Sunday. Is John Gruden going to be that guy? Does John Gruden want that headache? Can you imagine if AB's not getting the ball, him coming and flipping out on Derek Carr? What's Derek Carr going to say? We had Vader Raider the other day talking about he wants to see Derek Carr become more of an a-hole. You know who won't be have any problem being an a-hole? Antonio Brown. He wouldn't have no problem going and getting in Derek Carr's mess. And what would that do to Derek Carr and his psyche and all that good stuff? You know what I'm saying? Like, would that I think that would do more damage to him than that would do good. Is he a hell of a player? Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the best in the league. But how much good is it worth? Is it worth the trouble? Is he worth the trouble? I had a homeboy back in the day, man, from the Bay Area, Jay Valentine, man. He sang a song called She's Worth the Trouble, and that was my get down, man. I was doing hip-hop radio at the time, and he's a real good dude from San Francisco, California, Jay Valentine. If you haven't heard the song, shame on you. If you have, then you know what I'm talking about. But if you haven't, go to YouTube and Google it. Jay Valentine, She's Worth the Trouble. Really good video, really good song. That's my homeboy. He's a good dude. Anyway, I tell you all that to say, He made a point in there that the homegirl he was talking to, she was worth the trouble that he was dealing with. Is Antonio Brown worth the trouble that he would bring to the team just because he can catch 100 passes, go over 1,000 yards, get 13 touchdowns? Can he be the guy? Can he be the huge weapon that Derek Carr needs? Probably, but think about everything else that he brings to the table. He's going to work hard in practice, but what else is he going to do in practice? Is he going to rattle Derek Carr? You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't know if that dynamic would work. If Big Ben has trouble tolerating Antonio Brown, can you imagine Derek Carr trying to tolerate Antonio Brown? And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Derek Carr and saying he's soft or anything, but he's not that guy. And we've had callers say he's not that guy who's going to go grab someone by the face mask and get in their grill and tell them that they need to do this better or do that better. I look at Big Ben as a guy that will be more confrontational than Derek Carr will. Now, I think John Gruden would back him up and really try to go to war. But at the same time, man, Antonio Brown and Ryan Clark said it best on NFL Live on ESPN. He said when he was in Steelers camp, when he was there, he said, if you give Antonio Brown money, he's going to become a monster. And, well, I wasn't there when he said that, but that's what he said. He said that on NFL Live, and we see who Antonio Brown is today. And it's funny because when he heard what Ryan Clark said on NFL Live, then all of a sudden he put out some tweet about him being a sellout and Uncle Tom. That kind of tells you the guy's mentality. Not too cool. Not too cool. So I don't want the Raiders to go make that move. But what I'm saying, and I'm going through this long spiel to tell you that John Gruden's going to do everything he can to improve this offense. That's his offense. That's his baby. Paul Gunther's in charge of the defense. Now, he wants that straight too. But best believe John Gruden wants that offense straight. He is infatuated with Antonio Brown. So do you think he would make a move to go and get AB? Do you think he'd be willing to give up the number 27 overall pick or maybe the number 35 overall pick? Look, they got four picks in the first two rounds. They got, the first four. Jesus, I can't even say this. They got three picks in the first round, then the number 35 overall pick in round number two early on. So in the first 35 picks, they got four of them. How about that? That made a lot more sense than whatever I was trying to say. I apologize. My bad. I got a little worked up. So can you see them giving up the number 27 overall pick or maybe trying to lowball the Steelers and say, hey, we'll give you pick number 35? Remember, he is under investigation by the NFL for domestic violence, an incident that happened back in January. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't know if he's going to get suspended or anything. I don't know if anything's going to happen with that. None of us know. But maybe that jeopardizes. Maybe he's not there for the first game of the season. Maybe he's not there for the first couple games of the season if they find something. Who knows? You never know what the NFL's thinking, right? So maybe the Raiders try to lowball him. I do, in my heart, tell you straight up, and you guys know I always tell you the truth, I do believe John Gruden's going to call, and I do believe Mike Mayock's going to call the Steelers and inquire. They gave up a third-round pick for Martavis Bryant, knowing damn well that there was a good opportunity he was going to get suspended. Well, he did. You know what I'm saying? So why would they not go and make a call to the Pittsburgh Steelers and try to make some kind of move for Antonio Brown? I don't know if they would give up a first-round draft pick. I know Pittsburgh's going to want one, but he is 30 years old. He'll be 31 in, I believe, June or July. Yeah, July. He'll be 31. Maybe they could say, you know what? I don't want to give up my first-round draft pick, but I'll give you number 35. Or maybe they will say, you know what? You can have 27 because we do have 35. Maybe that's a scenario. I don't know. But please believe John Gruden's going to try to improve that offense. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I do think he's going to inquire, and I do think he's going to try to go after Antonio Brown hot and heavy. So Raider Nation, if you had to give up a pick, if you were calling, if you were picking up that phone, if you're John Gruden, if you're Mike Mayock, and you're calling Mike Tomlin, you're calling the Rooneys, inquiring about Antonio Brown, what are you comfortable? What are you comfortable in giving up if that becomes the case? Not do you want him on your team as a fan, but if you're in those guys' shoes, put on your GM hat. If you have to try to navigate through the waters and go acquire this dude, what would you feel comfortable giving up? And how well do you think he would mesh with Derek Carr? Do you think they'd be able to get along? I know I got a lot of guys that listen to the podcast that cut for Derek Carr. I know Nico in North Jersey. I know my man Monster Mash Ken in New York. Not mad. I'm just naming a couple off the top. Just a couple guys. I know Selena in the OC. She cuts for Derek Carr. Would he be able to cut it with a guy like AB? That's what I want to know. 707-654-4693. I'm going to get into segment number three coming up next. Some calls straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome in to segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this Wednesday, February 13th, 2019. Man, oh man. I swear, man, I guess once you hit a certain age, everything just flies by you. I think my mom used to warn me. She's like, yeah, just keep living. I used to always try to make like old jokes about, yeah, just keep on living, son. Keep on living. You see what happens. I swear, man, it feels like it was just the first of the year. You know what I'm saying? It feels like January 1st just rolled around. It's already halfway through February. And we all know February is a short month, so it's going to be March pretty soon. Free agency is going to open up March 13th, and then we all know the draft is April 25th in Nashville. I cannot wait to be there. It's going to be a very exciting time. But, yeah, I'm just kind of, I guess, showing my age right now. 42 years old doesn't sound very old, but, man, the way these days are flying by, if I get to 52, Lord willing, I get to 52 years old, these days are going to super fly by me. It's going to choo, 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 choo. You know what I mean? Just nuts. But anyway, 707-654-4693. That's the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. That's when I get to hear from you, your thoughts on anything and everything, as long as it has to do with the Raiders. And even if it doesn't, it's all good. You can hit me up, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off. My man Regan in Montana, he was actually in Vegas for the Super Bowl. He drove by the new Raiders stadium multiple times, and he shares his thoughts on it. Also, he's going to respond to Brother Marquis' call about the needs on offense and not just focusing on defense. He knows his team needs a lot of work, and Regan's going to share his thoughts on what he wants to see. Make sure folks don't sleep on the second-round pick the Raiders have. Remember, they have four in the top 35. Here's Regan in Montana.
Q, what's up? It's Regan from Montana. How's everybody doing? Been a little while since I've called. I wanted to call and check in. I travel a lot for work. And I was in Las Vegas for a week of the Super Bowl weekend, which is pretty cool. But I drove by the new stadium site several times, and man, it looks cool. I can't wait for it. You know, everyone can say what they want about Mark Davis, but they can't deny the fact that we needed a new stadium, and that's what we're getting. We're getting a brand spanking new, state of the art, cutting edge, whatever you want, every fancy terms you're going to say, it's going to be an awesome facility, and it's just going to it's going to be great. The Raiders deserve to play the best of the best, really looking forward to that. And if you guys are ever in Vegas, I highly recommend hopping on I-15 South and just and checking it out. It's just right there across from Mandalay Bay, across I-15. It looks really good. I also want to respond to a call, Brother Marquise, my man in Miami. I always wanted to go to Miami, never been there. Hopefully I get to someday. Dude, I agree with you. It's, about everyone's kind of overlooking offense. And it's almost like we don't have enough picks, you know? It's like we have three first round picks, which is a tremendous amount. But it's like, regardless of which pick we take, it's almost like shooting ourselves in the foot, because we need so much. We have to build so much on both sides of the ball. At number four, I don't know if you agree, I think we have to take a pass rusher, have to take the best available defender at number four. Then, you know, it's up for debate at 24 and 27, you know, if we get the, if at 24, if a solid linebacker, which has been non-existent for years and years and years, even with when we did have good receivers, I think you got to take the best available linebacker, like Devin Bush from Michigan, the Michigan man. You know, that'd be cool. And then, but if he's gone, then you know you got to take DK Metcalf. If DK Metcalf is there, you got to take him. DK Metcalf's awesome. Hollywood Brown, explosive, fast, absolutely. We do need to get receiving. We need a receiving core. We have no receiving core. You know, we need one of those guys, that can really be a playmaker. And then even in the second round, a lot of people haven't even been talking about the second round. Second round pick, I think, should be Riley Ridley from Georgia. I've watched a ton of Georgia games this year. My fiance's brother is a diehard Georgia guy, and I've watched Riley Ridley all college football season. And, you know, I'm thoroughly impressed at, you know, our second round pick. We got to do. I think Riley Ridley is a no-brainer. It'd be kind of cool to hear everybody's. You know, I guess let's do this first four picks. That could be our little mock, because we don't have that much time on these calls. First four picks. You know, I think I've called about Josh Allen a million times. Everybody should know that I stand on Josh Allen. If he's there at four, you got to take him. But my God, I don't think he's going to be available. I really don't. And I've seen Rashawn Gary a lot lately. The numbers, they aren't the greatest. His sacks, he only had like 3.5 sacks per year for the last 2 years. That's not great. But my goodness, is this man a beast. 280, 6'5", runs a 4.5 or something like a 4.5 40. Holy cow. That's just an animal. And with, you know, some fine tuning from our defensive coordinator, Paul Gunter, I think that, assuming it's like Bosa and Quinnen Williams and Josh Allen aren't there, Rashawn Gary, I think that's a respectable pick. I really do. And granted, there's others like Brian Burns and Cleveland Farrell and all that, but I really think Rashawn Gary at 4 is not a bad idea. Then let's go 24. I think if Devin Bush is there, linebacker from Michigan, got to take him. How cool would that be having the three Michigan men, Mo Hurst, having Rashawn Gary right next to Mo Hurst. They played together, and, of course, Devin Bush. Three Michigan men on the Raiders defense would be awesome. And then I think we got to take if DK Metcalf is there, you got to take DK Metcalf, hands down. If he's gone, take Hollywood Brown. And then for at the whatever pick we have for the second, I think you take Riley Ridley. Anyways, that's my 4 mock draft picks. We got Rashawn Gary. Devin Bush, DK Metcalf, and then Riley Ridley. Those are my 4 guys. So let's hear what you guys got. All right, Raider Nation. Peace out.
Good stuff, Regan. Definitely appreciate that. And you bring up a lot of good points. And it's funny, man. In segment number 2, I was trying to figure out how to say that. 4 draft picks in the top 35. And I don't know why I couldn't figure it out. But maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm just out of my mind. But you said it perfectly. So thank you for that, Regan. Now let's go to my man, Dustin. He's in the Lone Star State. That's right. He's in Texas. And it's funny because he actually had to he paused the podcast. I think it was Monday's show. It was the day that Vader Raider called in talking about Derek Carr, about him needing to be an a-hole. And he got pretty fired up. And you'll hear it in his voice. He got really, really fired up. And then all of a sudden, like, he calmed down really quickly. He focused his attention on Brother Marquis' call about getting some offensive guys on the side of the ball. And then he brought up one of his favorite Raiders. Remember Terry McDaniel? Yeah, he brought up Terry McDaniel in the 95 season. Here's Dustin in Texas.
Hey, Q. Hey, Raider Nation. This is Dustin from Texas. And, yeah, this is a knee-jerk reaction. I got you on pause right now, right after Vader's call. And I guess I thought Vader was the one that said, let's quit with the car talk and start talking about the draft. And I really try to tone down that's all I really talk about is car. But, I mean, man, here we are again. And I don't care who he is at the podium. You know what I mean? I don't care. I mean, you say Carr's got to be better. We got to get more wins. I mean, half of y'all are saying that. But what about the pass rush? Can we get a better pass rush? Can we get less drop balls? Can we get better pass blocking? Can we get more broken tackles? Can we get, more wrap-ups, more ball hawk and secondary? What about everything else that goes? Carr's doing his job. The wins aren't because of Carr. I mean, I can't. I know I sound redundant. Anyway, man, I get a little worked up. It always seems to be when Vader calls. Nothing against you, brother. We're all part of the same family. But anyway, let me hit on 2 things real quick before I go. Marquise, the reason I was saying we need defense in the first round, I would personally, is because I don't think there's an offensive player worth the number 4 pick. I mean, if we trade back, then yeah, there's some receivers. I'm gonna take a couple tackles, but I mean, at the front of the draft, it's hard. I mean, it's a hard pass on offense for me. It's all defensive front. But yeah, I mean, I like some receivers later on with the last 2 picks. Maybe grab DK Metcalf or somebody. But and tight ends, man, Noah Fant's the best one. I think he might be the only one taken in the first round. But I don't. Again, he's not a top 10. But that's just me. I've been wrong before. And another thing I wanted to hit on, who was it? WAP called, and he reminded me of Terry McDaniel. I forgot about Terry. I used to love Terry McDaniel. 36. If y'all remember, in 1995 against the Bengals, dude had 3 interceptions, man. Yeah, one of my favorites all time. But I got to disagree with you on Chester McLaughlin, because whenever I remember Daryl Russell saying whenever he came in after McLaughlin had left, he was saying, telling Daryl Russell to calm down. It's only practice. Take it easy. And he said that was what we had to change about our team is those the end of 95 and 96, 97 was, you know, taking it easy in practice. And Russell's like, no, we got to change that. But, man, 1995, Terry McDaniel, 7 interceptions. And another thing about 1995, for you Kauffman fans, remember against Dallas, we were 8-2. I think they were 8-2. But on the radio here in Texas, everyone was saying, this is Super Bowl preview because Cowboy fans are hardcore here. We're surrounded by them. But the Raiders were playing that good. And if it wasn't for a Billy Joe Hobert pick against Kansas City in week 3, we were driving to win the game, we would have been 9-1 if he wouldn't have thrown that pick 6 to, I think, Dale Carter. But, yeah, man, 1995 was one of my favorite seasons, that first half anyway. I remember that block Napoleon Kauffman had on Charles Haley against the Cowboys, man. Loved it. That's what made me fall in love with Kauffman. Anyway, Raider Nation, called in a little worked up. You know, Derek Cargan, yeah, I'm going to ride or die with him. I don't think he's the problem at all. I think it's everywhere else. All right, see you.
Good call right there from my man Dustin. You see how he got fired up? That's what I'm talking about, man. He got super fired up. So I ain't mad at him. It was just funny the way he did it. He went from 0 to 100, then he calmed down to about 60. But good stuff right there. But he was not done. He actually called back to talk about the Raiders quarterback position in general and who the guy should be. I think he still had Derek Carr on his mind. That's why he called back. He talks about being 40 and all the quarterbacks that he's seen the Raiders have in between Rich Gannon and Derek Carr. Here's Dustin in Texas. Call number 2.
Hey, this is Dustin from Texas again. I just wanted to one more thing, man. I've been a fan for almost 30 years, and there's been one quarterback in that time. It was Rich Gannon that, well, it's like, okay, we got our quarterback. But, man, I'm not spending another 18 years, you know, another altogether 27 years wondering, being on the fence as if do we have the right guy. I mean, life is short, man. I'm 40. I don't know how much. At some point, you have to be all in, you know? And Derek Carr, I'm all in because I'm tired of waiting and waiting and waiting with the Marcus Tuiasosopus. I'm tired of the Kerry Collins, the Aaron Brooks. I mean, Jay Schrader, Todd Marinovich. What was the dude that Derek Carr beat out? The backup in Green Bay, I forget it. But, I mean, it's every year. It's finally, for the last 3 years, I'm like, okay, I finally got my guy. I mean, I'm all in. At some point, you just got to be sold on your team. Like the players, like the coach tells the players, you got to be all in, man. Just be all in. Anyway, that's it.
All right, good stuff right there, Dustin, 2 times. And the final call today on the show, and I got a lot more to get to, and I will get to those on Thursday's episode and Friday's as well. But this call comes from the 707. He didn't tell me where he's from, or didn't tell me his name, but he told me he's from Humboldt County, and he got buddies in Humboldt County. So maybe that's why he forgot his name. Maybe he was getting his Humboldt County on, if you know what I'm talking about. But he's calling talking about his all-time favorite Raiders. Nice little list. He's also talking about what he'd like to see added to the Raiders roster and where the Raiders will play in 2019. Obviously, very sore subject, something I was very, as a matter of fact, about in segment number 1. Again, he didn't give me his name, but he's from Humboldt County, and his call's coming from the 707. So here's my man from the 707.
Hey, what up, Q, Raider Nation? How's it going? Hope all's well with everyone. I just want to let you know what my all-time favorite Raiders were. Kauffman was one of them. Always loved Charles Woodson. I bought a pair of his shoes in high school. I was so pumped when they came out. It was they were too expensive for me at the time, but man, I had to have them. I wish I still had them. I have them up on my shelf right now. But another guy was Eric Turner. He was just him and Charles Woodson. Like they were just like such interception kings. But unfortunately, Eric Turner died young, stomach cancer. But always Tim Brown and then James Jett. He wasn't James Jett dropped some passes, but man, that guy was fast. When he got the ball, he was gone. Loved watching those guys. They were all time, players there. But, I hope we get a wide receiver for this next year. Really want a good wide receiver. I think, Derek Carr needs it to make him better. The only way Derek Carr is going to get better is if we get some good wide receivers. If not, we're going to be singing the same song, and I don't want that. I hope we get a quarterback, too, just to put behind Derek Carr, because time's going to come. I love Carr, but, you know, it's there, and we just need to make sure we have backup when time comes, that we're not restarting over when we need a quarterback. So hopefully we can get someone just to get the game plan going. But, and can't wait for you to announce that Oakland Raiders will be playing in Oakland. I really hope that comes out of your mouth here in the next couple of days. If not, we'd be bummed. Got a lot of boys up here in Humboldt County that are big 49er fans, but every time I want to go to a Raiders game, they're there with me. They always cheer for the Raiders, which is pretty awesome. But I hope to take some of those guys back down to the game this next year, and I hope I don't miss that out. But yeah, thanks, man, for the podcast, and we'll talk soon. All right, thanks.
Bye. All right, great call right there. Definitely appreciate that. Some good names in there, and good thoughts on where the Raiders are going to be playing in 2019, and hopefully I can be a part of that and tell you exactly where it is, and hopefully it's going to be in Oakland. Hopefully what I was able to tell you in segment number one was kind of reassuring that things are going to get done, but I can't say that it is 100% yet, but at the same time, when I find out, you know you'll be the first to hear. Dustin in Texas, I appreciate your call, and my man who got things started, Regan in Montana, good stuff from you as well, so definitely appreciate that. Until next time, Raider Nation, tomorrow will be Thursday, the 14th, Valentine's Day. And since tomorrow's Valentine's, I'm going to show a little bit of love. Normally what I do is I have really good interviews. I'll save them for Friday. Well, what I'm going to do, since it's Valentine's again, I want to show a little bit extra love. I'm going to have my man Chris Plank. He does radio in Norman, Oklahoma. Norman, Oklahoma, meaning he covers Kyler Murray, covers the Sooners, been doing it for years. He also does radio for Fox Sports Radio. Going to talk to him about Kyler Murray, going to talk to him about the Raiders because, oh, by the way, he's a Raider fan as well. But he's objective, so it's not like he's just going to put on his silver and black glasses and fanboy out. No, he's going to be objective about the team just like I am, but at the same time, he's going to talk about Kyler Murray. He's going to talk about other NFL prospects currently on the Sooners, and he's also going to just talk about Raiders in general. So Chris Plank, at Plank Show on Twitter. He's going to be on Thursday's episode of the Locked On Raider podcast. So until then, until next time, as always, Raider Nation, just win, baby.